Hey, Monkeys Fighting Robots Nation, how's it going? It's new comic book day, the favorite day of the week if you're a comic book nerd. And I was pretty excited today when Marvel sent me two books in the mail. They sent me Thanos number one, and then they sent me The War of Realms Uncanny X-Men. And the book I want to talk to you about today is Thanos 1. That's pretty crazy. Actually, it's Thanos 1 of 6. Thanos is dead in the comic books. You guys already know this. Executed by the deadliest assassin in his galaxy, his daughter, Gamora. But before their relationship came to a bloody end, how did it begin? Find out in this all-new miniseries by Teeny Howard and Ariel Olivietti as the artist, and hopefully I didn't butcher the name very much on that one. And Antonio Fabella was the color, and Joe Carmagna was the letterer, and Jeff DeCal did the cover of the book. And that's what I want to discuss today with you guys. But before we talk about that, I just want to kind of give you a little backstory on what's going on with Monkeys Fighting Robots, you know, because Monkeys Fighting Robots is what I eat and breathe. You know, right at the beginning of the year, we moved Monkeys Fighting Robots to just primary comic books. You know, our focus is comic books. So today, there's been tons of reviews that have been going out and everything, and we're working on getting more interviews and more op-eds for the Monkeys Fighting Robots brand. And then we also launched Pop Axiom, which covers film and television, with a focus on streaming, you know, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus. Really excited about Disney Plus. I think that's going to be a lot of good conversation. So now we have this podcast, the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast, which I've kind of neglected once we had the twins, and I apologize to the people that listen to the podcast. But I was at Record Store Day, and I met a lovely gentleman. And he was like, you need to get back on the horse and just do it. You got the equipment sitting there. You got the things in there. You got to make the time to do it. And that's my goal. You know, my goal is to make the time to talk to you guys, because I really do enjoy talking to you guys, whether it be, you know, with a podcast, in the comment sections, on social media, you know, conventions. And I've met so many people since we published the first issue of Monkeys Fighting Robots number one. And I've even had more chatter since we launched the weekly comic strip that I'm co-writing with Jamie Jones, the artist on the series. And we are in week 12, week 13 to get ready to drop. And I probably should talk to Jamie tonight after I after I record this podcast. And we should probably chat about the tank battle that is going on in the Tales of the Monkeys Fighting Robots universe right now. It's a weekly comic strip that Jamie and I are working on. You can go to monkeysfightingrobots.com, and if you scroll down about, I don't know, maybe halfway down, you'll see the this week's strip. And Jamie and I are having a great time building out the Monkeys Fighting Robots comic book universe and the battles that happened back in the day. Or right now, we haven't decided if it's back in the day or going right now. But, you know, we will get to that point, but we're having a lot of fun. You know, we go to the Flying Boat is the brewery that Jamie and I go to in St. Pete, and we grab a beer and we like hash out a month worth of pages or strips. And then we kind of chat during the week and flush out the dialogue and how things go. So we kind of do it the Marvel way, where Jamie's like, okay, I got this idea, and then we kind of fill in some dialogue around it, or I'll come up with a crazy idea and it's like, I like that, and he'll build it out and go from there. So yeah, that's what Matt Sarda was up to. Matt Sarda was raising three daughters, Alice, and then the twins, Honey and Tessa, and running Monkeys Fighting Robots, launching Pop Axiom, writing a weekly comic strip, and getting back on the podcasting horse. I mean, the previous issue, the previous podcast I just talked about, Avengers Endgame, which is still emotionally upset me. And I'm probably going to go see it tomorrow night again and probably like Sunday to kind of relax and close out the week. And then I'm hoping that the next podcast is going to be like more of a spoiler-filled discussion about Endgame. And I'm pretty excited about that. So going back to what this podcast is going to be, the main focus is going to be comic books. But if there is something going on in the world, like Avengers Endgame, you know, we're going to talk about that, or Star Wars, we're going to talk about that. Or if there's something that I think that you might really enjoy going on, I'm going to talk about it for a little bit and hopefully give you something new that you don't know about, that you can be like, hey, I'm going to check this out. This is going to be pretty exciting. And so that's the goal of this podcast. So the focus is comic books, but we might branch off into film and television when big events happen, or if something new pops up and I'm like, hey, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to check this out. And now that we're with Anchor, there is a chance you might hear an ad right now. Okay, you may or may not have heard an ad by our sponsors from Anchor, and I appreciate their support. If they did, just play an ad. But Avengers Endgame is coming out this week, and Marvel always has a book that comes out when their big films come out. And there's a miniseries, Thanos, 1 of 6, that is out now, that dropped this Wednesday. Marvel sent me a copy and I read it and I was like, okay, let's get my Thanos fix on and go in there. And I was surprised with Howard's writing of this book. It is very Thanos-y. You know, it actually kind of borderlines on a slasher vibe to it, which kind of was different. You know, I mean, when you get horror in comic books, it is, I feel like that's when somebody's putting together some quality writing. When the art and the lettering, you're like, hey, wait a second, is this a slasher film that I'm watching or reading in a comic book? And why are people getting hacked apart that I wasn't expecting people to get hacked apart? Or why am I scared to turn a page or around the corner of Thanos' ship? Like, how did you build up this scare in me and get me a little on edge? And I was very surprised. I was pleasantly surprised with Thanos number one, because it's Gamora telling the story of how she met Thanos, but we're getting a deep dive into his early days. I don't know exactly when the time frame is on this, but Howard put together some really good writing, and what you'll notice is that the details of the outlining characters is what's going to make this story even better. You get these small little details of characters, and Thanos is the main character, but like you're getting everybody else's kind of point of view of Thanos, and they're calling him the captain. He's the captain of the ship, and that's kind of weird. Where they're starting off with Thanos, because he's just always been like the mad titan. Yes, they are slaughtering tons of people, and there's mass carnage throughout this book. But it is an interesting little psychological thriller that's underneath it. You know, because I'm trying to like feel for the assassins that are getting, you know, stuff's happening to them, but they're still assassins. So you're like, I'm not really feeling, you know, too remorseful if you bite the dust or if you feel a little scared. But it is affecting me a little bit, you know, so it is a little scary on my end, which I do enjoy. And then we have Ariel's artwork, which kind of starts off slow. The paneling in the book is pretty generic kind of thing, but, you know, they show Thanos' massive ship, the Zero Sanctuary, and it's very cold. The colors in this book give me a little chills going on there too. You might hear me flipping through the pages right now as we're doing it, and Antonio Fabella's colors I do enjoy in this book. It's kind of a flatter book. I don't know if they're using they're using gloss pages, but it's still kind of got like a flatter color. It doesn't have the sheen or the shine of some of the plasticky Marvel comic books. But Ariel's artwork is really good. It's my cup of tea. I'm trying to think where I'd plan it in. I mean, because there are some things that are like ultra realistic where I'm like, that's okay. But then there's aliens. So you can be ultra realistic with aliens, but you're still putting your like spin on it. And I loved all the alien designs in this book. And I'm trying to go through panel design on it. The panel design is pretty rudimentary. You know, it's a basic read. But there are a few splash pages of Thanos that are beautiful, that come out of nowhere and they kind of scare you. You know, they're set up well where your head's kind of like, when you're reading a book, you're like reading and your eye line goes here, but then you flip the page and where the scares come from is from the other side. I don't know if that's a spoiler. I apologize if I just spoiled the book for you. But I did enjoy this book, and I did enjoy like how much like horror tropes are in it, you know, just like dragging somebody in the chainsaw. And if you've seen enough horror movies, your brain will add sound effects to this book. And that I'm a person who gets scared very easily and hates horror movies. So I was adding all sorts of horror sound effects. You know, my brain's got a whole Rolodex of body noises when it comes to like getting killed, you know, like slicing and chainsaws and crunching of bones and all that stuff. It's probably why I scare the shit out of myself all the time. And after seeing Avengers Endgame, I had Josh Brolin's voice in my head. So I had him basically reading the book to me himself, which is also good. I know that we've all had our own version of Thanos. I don't know when you started reading. You might have started after Josh Brolin, but I've been reading since the original Infinity War or Infinity Gauntlet back then. So it was, you know, Josh Brolin being in my head was kind of cool. But again, like the Thanos slaughters in this are just pretty gratuitous and like upsetting. Like, if this book doesn't upset you, like, you're Thanos. That's basically it. But I like the ragtag group of assassins that they put together in this book that are kind of like the people looking at Thanos from afar and kind of commentating on where he is currently. And it's also interesting, like, the wardrobe changes that Thanos goes through, from like sleeping to he has like his traditional garb on, which I still don't quite understand how those eyebrows work in that mask. But, you know, and then they have him like just in a white t-shirt hanging out, you know, and I would call it his, I don't know, his Jedi robe or something, you know. I don't know why there's so many bandages on the forearm, but I mean, it looks cool. But then he goes back and he's in his traditional Thanos outfit. And I like his scepter. He has a cool scepter. It's more of like a sickle, I think. It's better for slicing aliens in half. And Magnus shows up on the end of this. And that's always a character that I've, I was like, I know there's Warlock and I know there's Magnus, but I don't really know too much about Magnus. So it was good to see him because I can learn more of this. Because my aspect now on kind of reviewing comic books is, how does it translate to a new person? You know, a new person picking up this book. You know, just seeing Endgame, like, oh, I want to see more Thanos. And like, you're like, hey, I can read this book. And this book is actually really good for a new reader. the way it introduced, you know, if you read all the captions, you read everything that comes through, you're like, okay, it just drops you into the middle of it, but it gives you a little brief intro and you're like, okay, I'm in for the ride and I'm going to enjoy this Thanos story as long as it goes for the next six issues. And for it being a six issue miniseries, they don't really explain that to you on the book. You know, you don't see it anywhere. It just says one, Thanos one. But Howard's writing definitely sets this book apart as something that's like new reader friendly. And then you have Ariel's artwork where you're like, it's almost like has a Star Wars feel to her artwork with all the different aliens that are popping up. And I do like the colors that it's like flat. I'm not a fan of the super shiny. You know, Fabella's colors are pretty good. And Joe's lettering is solid. You know, it must be annoying to always have Thanos' bubbles be like this, like, rah. And I'm sure you know exactly what that meant, because, you know, a sound effect is perfect for describing the visuals of something. But I'm going through all these different pages, trying to find like my favorite pages. But basically it ends with the introduction of Gamora as a kid. And if you saw Infinity War, you saw that where that introduction comes from. But I do like, there's one splash page where like Thanos is like running downhill and he's just slicing aliens up and down. But there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pictures of Thanos. And so they're showing his motion as he like jumps down the mountain and like slices through people. It's really brightly colored for as dark as it is. And the dooms are oranges and yellows and a blue sky with multiple moons. And then you have like Magnus at the end. And like, it's just a nice feel. The way the panel moves along, like you're reading, but you're also like guided through the motions and it's really fluid. And then if you start looking at the detail of death that's going on in this page, you're like, I do not understand why Thanos is floating at the end of the panel. He may be continuing his jump into Magnus, or Magnus may be holding him up because Magnus can float. Because then Thanos is on his feet afterwards, but like, and Magnus is just floating. But I do like Thanos' contempt for everything. And this book really reads well after Endgame. Like, I'm just like, it just flows into the character that we saw on television or on the big screen. And it was really good. And then Gamora's face at the end as a child is just tragic. There's so much tragedy with that beginning stages, because Thanos is just a horrible, horrible dad. Like, I mean, like, he is probably like ranking. Like, I'm probably, you know, a bad dad, but he is definitely like, he's like the number one bad dad. I'm trying to think who else would be there, but that's probably just a weird list of people. But no, I really enjoyed this Thanos book. It was like the perfect nightcap after Endgame. You know, you watch Endgame, you pick up Thanos from your local comic book store, and you like settle with Endgame, you know, because you're going to have to come to grips with what happens in Endgame. And then once you come to grips with what happens in Endgame, you're like, okay, I need a little bit more. And this Thanos story is that little more. I'm really surprised how much I enjoyed this Thanos story, because like, it's a prequel and I hate prequels, but it's the timing of the story that makes it like work. But also then like you have Howard's writing where it just runs, like it starts and it runs, and then you have some gorgeous artwork. And it was good to see that Fabella gets a title credit on the outside of the book for colors. I do like that. I think there should be more credits to people. Jeff DeCall's cover is pretty good. Even though she's blue on the cover and she should be green. I don't know. Does she change this? Does Gamora change colors? I don't think so. Okay. We'll take a few points off for that cover. for the colors on the cover. But yeah, no, it was a fun read, and I'm really excited. I'm really glad that Marvel sent me this book. I'm going to read War of Realms Uncanny X-Men by Maddie Rosenberg later on tonight. And if it does stand out, I will make sure that it goes in another podcast with a brief review of what's going on there. But yeah, I recommend you, if you didn't pick it up today, that you like shoot a message to your local comic book store and be like, hey, do you have any of Thanos' left? I would like one because I heard that it's good from the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. You know, Matt Sardo gave it, I don't know if I'm going to give numbers. You know, go to the website that this podcast is embedded in and I'll give you my number. That'll be the thing. So if you did buy Thanos today, let me know what you thought of it. You know, shoot me a comment or shoot me on social media. Or don't shoot me. Just, you know, send that virtual sending of stuff like that. But again, I really enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate that you took the time to listen to this podcast. So I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure that we get one of these out once a week, if not more, because they're Marvel, DC, Image, everybody's sending me comic books, and there's so much good stuff going on right now. So you're going to need to try a little bit harder to find the things, or you might like skip over things. So my goal is to hopefully give you a little feedback on what's going on and be like, hey, you probably should pick this up. And Heroes in Crisis, it's a little sidebar. It came out this week, but I'm going to wait till they all come out to review it all together. I know I've reviewed a few of them earlier. But I think there's so much going on, and the way Tom King is writing, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that I need to read it as a whole, not as a monthly thing. So I'm going to do a whole review of Heroes in Crisis once it comes out, and then kind of reflect on that, because that's another powerful book that's going on. But again, I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you liked it, share with your friends and let them know that there is another comic book podcast out there worthy of your time. I'm Matt Sardo. This is Monkeys Fighting Robots. Have a good week.